Welcome to the Quality Christian Living Podcast. I am your host, David Friend. We're in a series dealing with unshakable prayers and unshakable faith. Today's topic is entitled, Seven Steps to Unshakable Prayers. This podcast, I believe, will help anyone have unshakable prayers. We will see how God's Word guarantees effective, fervent prayers. We can discover how our prayers will get the results that God desires for us. I want to provide seven keys or seven steps, whatever you want to call it, to unlock a life of prayer we thought was impossible. So get ready now. Get ready to receive and understand the power in unshakable prayers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for who you are. I pray you would bless this podcast. Holy Spirit, I invite you in to take control. Take charge of everything that's said. Direct my thoughts, direct my comments, even direct the way I read the scriptures. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless those that are listening in today. And I pray the Holy Spirit would move upon them, that they would receive faith and strength and trust and believe that they can have effective, strong, fervent prayers that have great power with great results. Thank you for what's about to take place. I'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, as I began to prepare this teaching, I wondered how many would think that my topic is possible or might believe that absolutely just it's totally impossible. My flesh tried to convince me to take a slow, soft approach and not to expect approval from that many people. But when I began to pray about addressing unshakable prayers, my spirit was encouraged. The thought of hundreds, even thousands of Christians beginning to believe that the Holy Spirit could touch them to increase their faith and their prayers. Well, as you can tell by now, the Holy Spirit won in convincing me to tackle the topic of unshakable, steady, consistent, powerful, effective, and fervent prayers. How many people out there would like that? I know I do. I'd like to have stronger and more powerful and more effective prayers than I have now. You may think, well, you must have a lot of insight. Well, I don't have a lot of insight, but I certainly know the one who has all the insight, and that's the Holy Spirit. And He left us His Word so that we can then receive the strength that we need to have unshakable prayers. So let's now get into this, not waste any more time, and look at the seven steps I believe the Holy Spirit has given me to help Christians have unshakable prayers. The first three steps are found in the words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 16 through 18 in the New Living Translation. Listen to this. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful. Matter of fact, I said at the beginning of this, this first step has three steps. Well, it's always be joyful, never stop praying, and be thankful. It says, in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. There are at least three lessons to learn from this scripture. If we desire to have unshakable prayers, first, we must be joyful in our relationship with the Lord. Joy brings faith. Faith brings powerful prayers. Second, never stop praying. You might say, I can't do that. Well, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we live every moment of every day with the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We can walk and talk and eat and work under the prayerful presence of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we can live with a constant influence of God in our life. That influence is able to direct every minute of every day. And third, in this particular scripture, it tells us to be thankful in all circumstances. Now, I'm not saying that we should be thankful for a diagnosis of cancer, which is what I've had before on several occasions. But this scripture is referring to being thankful in our relationship with God as His child. We must enter our prayers with thanksgiving. Take a moment and think about all that we have to be thankful for our salvation, for God's love, for His mercy, and for His grace. And then thank Him for that. All right, let's move on now to step number four. Because remember, the first step had three parts to it. All right, step four. It's found in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18 in the New Living Translation. It simply says, Moses responded, then show me your glorious presence. You see, this scripture, it's so wonderful about the scripture. It says, this is in the book of Exodus, and God is talking to Moses, and He's asked Moses to lead His people. And then Moses then turned around and asked God, then He says, Well, let me think about that. I think it's hilarious that Moses was thinking about what God wanted him to do. God was in right there. I mean, he couldn't see God's face, but he could hear Him. He could talk to them. He could communicate with Him. And you know, that's the same thing with us. We feel the presence of God at times. We can talk to God. We feel Him speaking to us in our spirit. We sense the Holy Spirit telling us what to do and which direction to go. And yet, we sometimes struggle with that in deciding, well, God, let me think about that. No, there shouldn't be any let me think about that when God God speaks, we need to listen. And so Moses asked God then, show me your glory, he said. Now, this relates to our desire to be blessed with unshakable prayer through the presence of God's glory. We want the presence of God in our life when we're praying. We need his presence when we're reaching out and praying for other people and praying for ourselves and trying to see people's needs met. Now, I'm not saying that God will walk by us. However, I believe that if we seek God's presence to have effective, fervent, unshakable prayers, that God will touch us through his Spirit that lives and dwells within each and every one of us. We can pray in the presence of God. The power of the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Let's call upon that power and believe. It is the conscious presence of the Lord that's upon us when we pray. And we're going to need to pray like that and believe for it and just have unexpected, unbelievably strong, unshakable prayers. All right, step number 5. Unshakable prayers come from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 in the New Living Translation. Listen to this. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Well, this step has a whole bunch of parts also, but I'm just going to use it as just step number 5. This step talks about praying for other people. You know, if we want to have unshakable faith, we've got to learn how to pray for people. We need to have a desire to pray for them. We should have a prayer list of people that we're praying for daily. When we see people, we say, I'm going to pray about it. We need to write the name down. You know, I just really dislike it when someone says, I'll pray for you, and they don't write anything down or they don't ask any information. You know the good chances they're probably not going to pray. And then you hear people, sometimes celebrities on TV, and they'll say, you're in our thoughts and prayers, and you think, well, Lord, I hope so. I hope that's true. But many times people say they'll pray, but they don't pray. And if we say we're going to pray and we don't pray, then how can God use us? How can he bless us? How can we have strong, powerful, effective prayers? So when I tell someone I'm going to pray for you, I take a little piece of paper out or I get my phone out, I make a little note, and I get their name down and what it is, the issue they're going through, and write it down and pray for them. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying this is what God has impressed me to do, to have unshakable prayers. And that scripture tells us to pray for people on their behalf, on their needs, for what they need, specifically what they have to have, and believe with them for God to do something in them. And then it also talked about give thanks to the Lord. All through these scriptures on prayer that I'm talking about today and talking about unshakable prayers and unshakable faith, there's just a stream of thanksgiving to God. We need to be thankful to God in order to have any type of powerful prayers in our life. Okay, we're going to move on now to step number 6. Pray with expectation and anticipation of God's positive response. That's important for me to repeat that, because we've got to be looking for God's positive response, not just, God, what do you want to do about that? Or do you think you'd be interested in that? No, we need to say and believe that we want God's positive response for the prayer request that we have. Let's look at another scripture that helps us there. It's in the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm number, chapter number 5, verse number 3 in the New International Version. Listen to this. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. You know, it's one thing to say a prayer, but it's another thing to say the prayer and then expect the answer. Believe for the answer. Anticipate the answer. That's a step. That's a powerful step towards having unshakable, powerful prayers and faith. You see, we need to believe what we hear in the Word of God. And what we see people pray and hear people pray, we need to believe that it's real and we're expecting and anticipating something. It kind of reminds me of an evangelist that was speaking one time, and he said, every time he got to speak, he said, something good is going to happen to you today. That was anticipation. That was expectation. That was an unshakable prayer. He would be right on TV, and the first thing he would do would say, something good is going to happen to you today. You know, I was blessed once to be able to pray with that man and also to actually play golf with him, which was an amazing blessing. And truly, he was a powerful man of God and just a wonderful man, a very kind, definitely led by the Holy Spirit. And what a great guy, what a great opportunity it was for me to be with him. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, aren't you going to tell us who it was? Well, sure I am. I'm just teasing you. That was Oral Roberts. And what an amazing man he was. And his left an incredible legacy behind of faithful prayers, unshakable prayers, believing. And if you want to see your prayers increase, then you might want to adopt his words and say something good is going to happen to you today. Now, what do the words expectation, anticipation, and faith mean to a believer? Well, they mean everything. I mean, they mean absolutely everything to us. We've got to expect it. We've got to believe for it. We've got to trust in it. Our faith needs to expand that when we pray, we just believe it's going to happen. There's so many times that I pray with people and they say things like, well, I just hope this is going to happen. And maybe if it's God's will, and I understand we've got to pray for God's will, but you don't need to pray about God's will if you're praying for someone to get saved. You're praying for an unsaved family member or friend or spouse that doesn't know Jesus. It certainly is God's will that that person be saved. So you don't need to know if it's God's will or not in that situation. And in many situations, most situations, we know the will of God because the will of God is described in His Word. It tells us what His will is and what His desires are. So I think it's really important that when we pray, we've got to have that wonderful anticipation, that expectation, that belief that something good is going to happen in this prayer. Something truly amazing is going to take place in that prayer. Otherwise, why do we even need to pray? We've got to pray in faith, believe, and trust God for the answer. All right, here's step number 7 in order to have unshakable prayers. It's based upon one of my favorite scriptures, one of my all-time favorite scriptures for praying over someone in need and for a lot of different areas of our life. As a matter of fact, this scripture carried me through a huge transition in my life. That transition was when my wife and I felt called of the Lord to close our real estate development company down and go into full-time ministry without any income. It was an amazing move, and we needed Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. That's the scripture I'm talking about. So let me read that to you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Boy, there's so much there, just so much there. For those of you maybe in business, this really should be the primary goal in every day in business. For those of you who are raising children, for those of you who are just married and don't have children, matter of fact, for anybody, this scripture is so powerful. This has two parts that apply to unshakable prayers. First of all, we learn to trust in God with all of our heart. Don't trust now in our feelings, because feelings will rob us of success. Feelings can be taken away from us. Our feelings will be influenced by other things or other people. We must trust in God with our heart, because the heart brings life. Such an important statement, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And then second part that talks about is lean not on your own understanding. And that probably is even more important than the first part. Well, no, how can you be more important than trusting in God? But to think about it, trusting in God with all your heart, then it says lean not on your own understanding, because that is the biggest challenge we face. Now, I've always been kind of a mover. I've been an aggressive person most of my life. I've worked hard in college. I can remember going to school full-time, taking a full load of credits, and then having all these little part-time jobs I would slip into when I'd have a couple hours here, 2 or 3 hours there. I would go get a little part-time job where I could do stocking, in shelves and in companies, or I could go clean up somebody's kitchen for them or whatever it was, or clean a parking lot for someone. And if I had a couple of hours of time, I didn't want to just sit around and wait that time. I needed to be productive in it. So I've always been a person who had a lot of understanding, and I wanted to move forward, and I want to make the most of every day. I used to think that sleeping was just a waste of time. Matter of fact, as a young man, some of you, I've already lost you on that one, but I've used to honestly think that sleeping was such a waste of time, because there's so much that I can't do when I'm sleeping. And then I realized one day, if I don't sleep, I won't be able to do any of those things. But as a young man, I can remember I worked mostly, 20 hours a day, and I would sleep 4 hours. That's all I would sleep. And that carried in from the time I was a teenager up until I was married, and probably, 10 years into my married life, that I just constantly felt like I needed to get so much done, accomplish a lot of things, and do a lot of things. And when you're that kind of a person, it's difficult to lean not on your own understanding, because you figure, well, I got to get this thing done. I just need to do it. But when you find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we need to realize that we need to be at peace with God. We need to be still and know that He's God. We need to wait upon the Holy Spirit. We need to stop and breathe and take a breath and understand that we need to trust in God with our heart and not in what we do, and lean not on what we know, what our understanding is. And that was a difficult challenge for me when I first became a Christian. Matter of fact, that probably kept me from becoming a Christian for a long time, because I used to think that Christians were kind of weak people. They were kind of weak-kneed. They wouldn't move out on their own, and they weren't doing things, and they weren't self-motivated and all those kinds of things. And it was terrible feeling that I had, but that's how I felt. And so it took me to about the age of 25 before I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because here I was trying to change the world and do everything I could possibly do and raise our family. And we had a couple of children, and we were just going and going and doing things. And then one day I woke up and realized I needed Jesus. My life was not full with all the stuff that I was doing. I was lacking something. And my wife and I, matter of fact, we were going to a church that at that time, we weren't Christians, but we would attend church each Sunday, and we kind of wonder why. And one morning we got up and we were just kind of looking at each other, and I said, "Why are we going?" And she said, "You know, I feel the same way. Why are we doing this? There's got to be more to what we're doing than just simply attending church and then not reading the Bible or not praying or not going to Bible studies or learning." And we both looked at each other and said, "There's got to be more to life than this." And so shortly thereafter, both of us became Christians, my wife first, and then several months after her, I gave my life to Christ. And then all of a sudden, I woke up. I didn't need to work 20 hours a day. I needed to spend time with the Lord. I needed to spend time with my family. I needed to spend more time with those people that I loved and care for those people. And so you can see why Proverbs 3:5 is so important to me. But it's so important to all of us if we want to have unshakable faith. We can't do it unless we learn how to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding. All right, my understanding is unstable. It has limits. It is not faith. It's only what I see. God's understanding is greater than mine. His thoughts are higher than mine. And His wisdom is far greater than anything I'll ever have. So let's be sure and remember to lean not on what we know, but trust in God in what He knows. Now, these steps are far from the only way to experience unshakable prayers, but they are based on biblical truths, and they will strengthen, I believe, all of us and keep us focused on who gives unshakable prayers and faith. It's only our God, our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who lives and dwells in each and every one of us. Before I end this podcast, we need to address what God's Word has to say about our mindset toward prayer. Now, do we approach prayer with thoughts like, will my prayer be answered? Or is there really any reason to pray? Is there any hope in it? If we approach prayer with doubt, anxiety, dread, or trepidation, you know, we will never experience unshakable prayers. We'll never receive them unless we remove these negative, fearful thoughts, you know, from our life. Therefore, we must come boldly before our God. We must come confidently before our God and believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, that doesn't mean that we can scream at God. He does not have a hearing problem. And the reason I say that is I've been in prayer meetings where all of a sudden we're praying and things are going well, and then somebody starts screaming and he gets really loud and whatever, and I have to go over and talk to him and just kind of calm him down, because it breaks really the flow of where people are focused. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with shout unto Lord to the Lord with a voice of triumph. That's wonderful. But I've had people to come into prayer meetings who want to do things the way they want it, not according to what God wants or not according to what the leader of the prayer group wants, but they've got their mindset on. They've got to come in and scream and rant and rair and jump up and down. I've literally had people come to a prayer meeting, get up on their chair and start jumping up and down on their chair and breaking it. And I'm serious. I've seen that. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that as unshakable prayer. Sometimes that's emotions, and we all need to control our emotions, right? We need to have the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and direct us in our times of prayer. So God doesn't have a hearing problem. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, NIV. I hope you're still with me. Some of you I know love to shout at prayer times, and that's fine. I've been boisterous and loud at times, but not where I interfere with other people trying to seek God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, NIV. Read this. "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." That word confidence in that scripture is also translated boldly, and other times it's translated as strong or firm, or, you know, confidence, strength in that. And I agree with all that, because we are supposed to go confidently before the Lord, not arrogantly before the Lord, but confidently before the Lord, so that we may receive mercy and find grace. I'm telling you, that's the type of prayers that I want, and that's the type of prayers that I believe all of you listening in desire to have in your life. Now, as a new Christian, someone taught me once a phrase that some of you may find this kind of comical and some of you may find it quite serious. But let me just share it with you, that a man talked to me once and we were just chatting about prayers and he says, well, you know, he says, I just believe, he says that some people have righteous indignation and some people just get angry. And he said something like this, Jesus was angry when he overturned the tables. Well, he was, but more than angry, Jesus was righteous, always righteous. But he had a time when he was angry, not angry at people in sin because he wanted to forgive sin, but angry with people who were not pleasing the Lord, who were taking advantage of God, who were using the synagogue, the tabernacle, to make money and make profits off of. And there's some warnings in the Word of God about that. But Jesus was there and he overturned the tables because he was upset. He was quite frankly ticked off about what they were doing. Now, if they would have asked for forgiveness, he would have forgiven them. But most of them didn't. They just took off running and they were afraid and off they went. You know, when Jesus did that, it kind of made me think about whether Christians can get angry with the devil or not. The guy, the teacher that was talking to me once, I told you about righteous indignation, he said that church members just get angry where pastors have righteous indignation. So it's kind of a pulpit joke, if you will. But it's really an interesting point because the truth of it is that we can get angry in our prayers. I'm not happy when someone's diagnosed with cancer. And I tell the devil that he's a liar and I pray against him in Jesus' name. And I take authority over him in Jesus' name because that's what Jesus taught us to do. I believe that sometimes our prayers should be so bold that we tell the devil to get away and leave us in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, that happened to me one time. I was in the car driving along. I was in a place called Sierra Vista, a little city a couple hundred miles south of Phoenix, and I was a banker back in those days, and my wife and I were heavily involved in the church, and I was the worship leader, and she was in charge of the women's ministries, and we taught the children, the kids. It was just a very small little church, and the pastor needed us to step in and do as much as possible, and so we did all that we could find time for, and God was using us, and it was wonderful. And now the devil was giving me a rough time saying, oh, you're just putting too much time in, it's going to affect your career and all that. And I just got so irritated with him doing that. I'm driving to work and I'm feeling all these thoughts, these little comments like, you need to drop away from the church, that's just way too much effort, there's no reason to do that, and that the bank's going to get upset with you thinking you're not giving them the best that you've got, you know, and all this stuff. These thoughts were in my mind. I'm driving to work. Of course, I had driven by the church on the way to work, and you know, it was just frustrating. I was so irritated and getting angry at the devil. I pulled the car over. I honestly did. I pulled the car over. I was on the side of the road, a big dirt road. And I got out of the car and I walked around and I opened up the other side door. And I opened the door and I looked at the empty seat and I said, Satan, get thee behind me. Get out of my car. Get out of my mind. Get out of my thoughts. I cast you out in Jesus' name. You have no authority here. You have no place here. You have no right to be here. I take authority over you in Jesus' name. Now get out of here and be lost in Jesus' name, I pray. And you know, all of a sudden I looked around and there were cars driving by and they were wondering, who's that crazy guy standing on the side pointing at the car? There's nobody in the car. So then all of a sudden I felt this wonderful peace and I closed the door and I kind of skipped around the car and got in the car and drove to work. I had the greatest day. It was an awesome day, and quite frankly, the devil left me alone because we can take authority over him in the name of Jesus and we can pray for those things that we believe in with all of our heart. Before I close this podcast, there's something I need to do. Matter of fact, all through this podcast, I've had moments in my heart that I thought, well, this is a good time to give people a chance to give their life to Christ. And I thought, well, no, this is a good time. And I've been recording this. And as I record it, I'll go back and then put things in and take things out. And I've just been so excited about this part of the podcast because to me, this part is the most important part. And that is to ask if anybody out there wonders where they're going to spend eternity. Do you know for sure whether you're going to spend eternity in heaven or not? You know, in our church recently, we've had a number of people pass away, and I've done services there, and I've seen literally as many as 100 people in a funeral service give their life to Christ and surrender life to Christ. So before I close this podcast today, I want to be sure that everyone listening in knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you're not sure, if you're uncertain, just repeat this prayer with me right now with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Say, Heavenly Father, I need a Savior. I need help. I've been trying to do things on my own understanding, but I need you. I know I've sinned and I've fallen short of your glory. I ask for forgiveness of my sins. I repent of my sins. And I ask Jesus Christ to become my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. I believe that he suffered, he was crucified, but he resurrected, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for me. So on this day, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I promise to serve him every day of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you really meant it with all of your heart, find a good church, get into the house of God, find a church that preaches the Word of God, get yourself a Bible, read through the Psalms. They're encouraging, they're uplifting, but read the book of Romans. It's a powerful book for how to live and walk as a Christian. Read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and become active and seek more of God in your life. And I'm telling you, He's going to help you and bless you, and your life will never be the same. Well, I hope that you guys have been blessed by this podcast today. I have thoroughly enjoyed it, and I just know that the Lord has something special intended for today in this podcast, and I hope that you receive that. If you'd like to know more about quality Christian living, I would encourage you to go to my webpage at davidcfriendauthor.com, and when you get there, on the very front page, there's a link to my podcast. And I said, if you'd like to know more about what quality Christian living is about, then that link will take you to, this is the 285th podcast that I've done. So think of that. There's dozens and dozens of podcasts on faith, on prayer, on how to get out of debt. There's help for veterans. There's help for families. There's podcasts on the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, what it is to pray in the Spirit, and operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm telling you, a plethora of topics there for you to look at. I hope that you will go through those and scan through them, some 285 of them. And there's sections on there where they're kind of grouped together. There might be 20 on podcasts on prayer, it might be 20 podcasts on miracles, 20 podcasts on the gifts of the Spirit, and they're brought together as the Holy Spirit leads me. So I hope that will be a help to you. If you'd like to know more about me and what I do and who I am, I've written a number of books. There's, I believe, 5 of them listed on my webpage right now. A couple of for veterans, a couple of books on, one on generosity, one on how to get out of debt, and another one on faith. There'll be a new one posted soon, as I'm coming out in the next few weeks with my new book entitled Faith for Miracles. And I believe that God is going to use that in a very special way and help people to believe for miracles. So I hope that be a blessing to you. If you'd like to subscribe to my podcast, you can do that by going to cpnshows.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Well, our next podcast is number 286, and it's entitled Results. That's it, just basically one word. But to define what it's going to talk about, it's results when we have unshakable prayer and faith. We're going to talk about what results we can experience, what we expect to see when God blesses us with stronger faith and prayers that are truly unshakable, prayers that are not impacted by the circumstances we go through. And I know that's hard because I've been through a lot of difficult circumstances. Some of you may or may not know that I've gone through 2 life-threatening battles with cancer, a kidney failure many years ago when I was a brand new Christian, told I wouldn't live but just a couple of years or more. And many times the devil has come after me and thrown a lot of things at me, but greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. And I believe that should be all of our prayers. Well, let me close then with this comment, this thought for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May He be gracious to you and give you peace. May you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So until next time, may God richly bless you. May your prayers develop into unshakable, powerful, fervent, effective prayers that change people's lives, that bring healing, bring restoration, bring faith and hope to those around us. And I want to thank you once again for listening to Quality Christian Living. I am your host, David Friend. This has been podcast number 285. May God bless you.